This morning, we're going to teach in a series, is Jesus Christ the healer? I haven't been able to get away from the areas of dealing with the areas of healing. And I talked to the Lord about this. And one of the things we want to look at is because looking at Jesus' ministry himself, we look at Jesus' ministry, and we'll talk about these things as we come in this morning to begin this, to look into here. The ministry of Jesus Christ, Jesus' ministry was three major things that he did. And it was teaching, preaching, and healing. That was his ministry. Teaching, preaching, healing. People today talk about doing the ministry of Jesus, but it isn't done. And one of the things that we need to have this, and, you know, I was going over again, I have listened to Kenneth Hagin has a series on healing that he did at a minister's conference that I listened to him over because they're just wonderful revelations that are generally not talked about in the areas of healing that he talks about in them. And I mean, it just encourages me. I mean, it just helps me and strengthens me, you know, and I listen to it over and over, because it doesn't just deal with God healing. It deals, you know, that, if things ain't working, what to do? I watch people confess themselves right into the grave. I mean, time and time and time again I've done and can't get people to stop and say, hey, you go start talking about, you know, there's more to this than just your confession. And people don't get it. Because out here, you know, well, just believe, just trust God, just believe the Lord. I'm so tired of that Mickey Mouse pansy Christianity.
Amen, preach.
And it is. It just, I don't know. It's just stuff. It don't work. You know, God wants things to work.
Hallelujah.
And he has a plan to make. He wants it to work for us. He wants us to understand what to do and know and what we need to do. But one of the things I've listened to, Kenneth Hagin talked about the thing on he does on this series that I really appreciate. He talked about, because years ago what they used to, the terminology was used concerning the healing, preaching and healing was to ring the dinner bell, they called it, because they said that healing was the dinner bell to bring people to Christ. Now if we look at Jesus' ministry, that was what he used to get people's attention. He used healing, get people's attention. That's what it was. Now we need to understand this. Jesus had to do a lot of teaching on healing if there was a lot of healing in his ministry. He had to. If without faith you can't please God, then therefore Jesus, number one, you need to understand this. The number one thing ministry wants to do is bring people to faith. That's the one thing you want to do. I'm going to talk about some of these things that we do that ain't proved nothing and done nothing. And we think it's religious and we do it and we think it's spiritual and it ain't. You know, we think around, we go in the areas of healing, all we do is think about praying for people. Do you know in the Bible we have very little praying for people for healing? Jesus didn't pray for people. Look through his ministry. Go to the book of Acts and see how many times it talks about praying for people. Yet we have this things of praying for you. Number one, if you ain't teaching them, don't bother the praying thing. Just go home. Our whole idea is we want to bring people to faith. Without faith, you can't please God. It don't say without praying, you can't please God.
Amen.
Without faith. So as number one, it is a prayer is no good if it's not faith. You know, I can't use my faith to get everybody else healed.
Amen.
You're going to have to bring people to the place of faith. You need to understand this. We're going to have to do that. The church has gotten over this thing, you know, prayer change. What do people call? You pray me into my healing. You do that. You do this and you do that. And people are going ahead and doing this. You know, God does things for baby Christians, but after a while, he won't. You can't get somebody else to keep doing it. And one of the things we do is we want to bring people to faith. Now, we have a lot of ideas in Christianity about stuff and how things work. Number one, we need to understand this, and I want to talk about these things going into this as we go into this study, is to, you got to change your thought and thinking about healing, about gifts of healing. The majority of the time, gifts of healing are not in operation. Most people never get healed by a gift of healing. Never. I can tell you this, I have never been healed by a gift of healing in my entire life, my Christian walk. I've been born again a few years. Never one time have I ever gotten healed by a gift of healing. Number one, and understand this, no minister or no person or Christian has gifts of healings. They don't have them. Nobody has them. They are not given to somebody. They may operate through us at some time or other. They can. I've had them operate through me for other people, but it's very seldom. Very seldom have I ever had gifts of healing operate through me. They operate as the Spirit wills. You will find this. When you get over and around to people who have been born again and know about the Spirit life and being filled with the Spirit, you will see very few times that the gifts of healing will operate to heal those people. You should never expect, very seldom ever have the gift of healing heal you. You shouldn't expect that. Now, I know that's really news to people. We put gifts of healing way up here to this place. And we don't really, gifts of healing, if a gift of healing goes into operation, a person don't have to have any faith at all. That's God's working to heal the individual outside of their believing. There's no faith involved when a gift of healing goes into operation. This is why some people really have problems, because sometimes there are people who have gotten healed by a gift of healing and they think, well, I must really know how to trust God. And they don't realize they didn't have a lick of faith in the thing. And I've had them come to me and say this. You know, years ago I got healed and I can't get healed anymore. And I just tell them, see, that's not no hard. You ain't got no faith for healing. Boy, do they love to hear that. Well, I surely got faith. Well, if I got faith, then what are you talking about? It should be working. Come on, let's deal with this. But see, people don't know. And so, this is not criticism, anybody. But these things are not taught. Also, you need to understand this. God does anoint people sometimes. We have through history men and women who have had healing ministries where God has given them a special healing anointing. A special healing anointing is not gifts of healings. You will have to operate in faith to receive from that special anointing. You'll have to operate in faith. That's why when you go to meetings and that stuff, you'll say what, like when Benny Hinn, Oral Roberts or different ones and Brother Hagin's meetings, you'd go to them. Some people get healed, some don't. Now, they all had special gifts. You know, Brother Hagin had a special gift. Jesus told him, called him up to heaven and gave him a special anointing for healing. But he told him this. He said, you tell people, and I wish people who had these anointings would tell people. He said, you tell people that if they will believe that you saw me, that you laid your hands on the palms of my hands, if they believe that I did gave you this special anointing, if they'll believe it, he said, they will receive their healing. So they had to believe something. God is always moving you toward faith. I don't care how much you pray. God's always moving you toward faith. Amen. Faith don't come by praying.
That's right.
Don't care how much you pray. You can go into praying with little faith, pray for 24 hours and come out with little faith. Maybe less than what you had going in. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's how it comes. And so the reason I'm telling you this is because, see, there is the fact we can minister healing to people just by faith. I have had just as much success in the areas getting people healed if they'll just listen to the areas concerning faith and can get healed. And we need to get over that fact is this stuff. If we're going to do the ministry of Jesus, we're going to have to bring people to faith. If without faith you can't please God, then therefore it wouldn't please God all the time to have to heal people by gifts of healing. It wouldn't please Him to do it. It would not please Him to do that. It would please God for you to be able to believe Him and receive. That's how it is. Number one, this is what we try to do in ministry, and you need to know this because if people want help for you. See, we have all this time, people have a problem, they'll come and say, I'm having medical problems. You pray for me. And you know what we do? Yeah, I'll pray for you. I don't say that. I say, you know, I start talking to the person about healing. You know, what they want is this prayer is the magic wand. This is the thing that's going to, and it's not. But you know what? We perpetrated the lie because we were dumb and didn't know. We need to stop this stuff and say, hey, hold it. Let's get back. Let's look at the Bible. See, we have as much tradition in the Spirit-filled church as the Catholics got in the Catholic church. We got our holy, you know, holy cows, you know, don't touch my cow, dear God. We have these things and we put this place of prayer as this sacred thing. Well, if it's not in faith and trust in God, there ain't a sacred thing about it. If it's just our ritual, there ain't nothing pleasing about it. It's not, don't mean nothing. And we need to come to that realization. Let's get in line with what God's doing. It's one thing, as the Lord dealt with me, is about we need to start ringing the healing bell. We want a move of God to come without doing nothing about it. We want to keep, we're going to pray it in. You ain't going to pray everything in. Like one evangelist said, you know, you ain't going to pray a revival in. He said, you're going to have to get a guy to preach it. You know, that's out in Azusa Street there, the guy who was Seymour, who did the preaching there in that thing. That revival got started. God had him go to some ladies' houses. They were having a prayer meeting. And they were praying about a move of God, which was a good thing. But God sent him there to their house, and he knocked on the door, and a lady answered the door. He said, I'm the guy that God sent to preach your revival. Why? There ain't going to be one if there ain't a preacher. Why? It's about faith. No, we want to have it and just have it, you know, it just pours out, and there we got it. Hallelujah. Let's have a big time. You know, somebody, praying is a part, but it ain't everything. We've made these things everything. You know, we have our certain corner on the market that this one thing, and you know, the Bible says all things work together for good. Amen. It don't say some stuff does one thing really he likes and the rest of it, yeah, whatever. Or these certain things. No, this stuff all works together. That's why we walk with faith and pray. And we want to get this thing because number one, first of all, we want to bring people to a place of faith. And then this is what it is. If you bring the faith, you need to be able to tell people how to release their faith. This is one thing. You can pray for people, but they never release any faith. Lots of times nothing happens. People ask for prayer and then walk on in unbelief. And every once in a while, you know, it's like over time, God has allowed me to use my faith to do things for people. I've had, you know, especially in families and stuff like that. I've had things with my family, my wife's family. Numbers of times God used me in areas with them that didn't have a bit. They weren't in any faith about nothing. They didn't understand or did. God allowed me to. But you know, there's one thing. I couldn't just go do it all the time and do that stuff. You can. Most of the time I found out why, because I heard Kenneth Hagin talk to us about it. He said, usually you have a family member, you can usually get it for them one time. But he said, you probably won't, maybe two, but you usually won't get them any more than that. They have, once they see God's done something, they need to start operating over. They need to start. Amen. Amen. See, I see people do this all the time. People always trying to carry people in their family. Always trying to do it. Wearing themselves out, trying to carry. I gave that up for a bad job a long time ago. God can't carry him. Ed can't. We have this thing. I'm just going to pray and take care of it. I'm just going to. It's amazing what God will do for us sometimes in spite of our stupidity. I've had to thank him many times. Lord God, you were a lot better than my dumbness. I'll tell you. You know, you try to do things. Well, you know, it is in our nature. And folks, it's in your nature. Do you see things going on? People, you know, around you like you want to see it change. And we have this tendency to want to pick it up. And we have to know what we can and can't pick up. Because I just see people just wear themselves. One thing I learned a long time ago is concerning my family. It's like when I've told it many times, but, you know, when the Lord told me to go, you know, read the psalm, it says, you know, that the man who fears the Lord and walks in his way, his wife's will be as a fruitful vine by his house, and his children as olive plants around his table. It says, thus shall the man be who fears the Lord. And when the Lord told me that, he said, I'll guarantee you your family. But he said to me, he said, if you do what I tell you to do. I found out the greatest success in my Christian walk is not doing what people want. Is doing what God wants me to do. What's my place? Amen. See, he told me, he said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, he said, I'll take care of your family. See, you know what I did? I never after that tried to be Mr. Take Care of the Family. That was God's. He said, I'll take care of your family. See, what we do is try to take care of everything, and then we're not following what God wants us to do. See, the big thing in you is following the will of God for your life. Amen. Not following the will of God for your family's life. Mm-hmm. Let God bless your family. Because I got around to this one thing. If I'm going to be and have to take care of everything with the family, I ain't got time for ministry. God's going to have to do something. Somebody has to pick something up. I can't do it all. I can't do it. But see, we have this Christianity that's taught, you know, the family's number one. I'm sorry, that's the biggest lie that's ever been on the face of the earth. God's number one.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, if you don't love Him more than your family, you're not worthy of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You ain't worthy of Him.
Amen.
Now, Jesus said that. He said, you're not worthy of me. See, the church is all messed up today. The Laodicean church is big. Because in the big churches are teaching. I got around this. Boy, the family comes first. The family comes first. The family comes first. And I'm going to tell you, God, they quit having church services so family could be, spend more time with your family. Do people spend more time with family? No. The devil brought that doctrine into the Laodicean church and they bought it and swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. And Christians loved it because it satisfied the flesh. I'm sure of this, of me following God didn't make a lot of people happy, even in my family.
Amen.
Walking by faith don't always get people tickled. I remember, you know, with Wanda, I just started off, but I found out about faith, you know, you pray, you believe, you got something, you act like it. You know, I learned that early on. God taught me that one quick. And so I remember, you know, Lena was just a little tot crawling around, you know, just a little rug rat running around wanting to get into stuff, but she's there, she wasn't feeling good. So we're laying on the living room floor where the kids are playing around, and Wanda said, you know, Lena hasn't been feeling good. Could you pray for her? And I said, sure. So I reached over and I prayed for her and laid hands on her. That she's healed in the name of Jesus. And I was laying there, I was doing some study. I had my Bible out on the floor and I was doing stuff. So I went back over to study, and after a while it's like somebody's staring at me. And I looked over at Wanda, and Wanda said, how can you do that? Just pray for her and just turn back like nothing. I said, it's because I believe God healed her. Amen. You don't. I didn't say, well, you're cute. You just need to understand, honey. You know. I said, why did you ask me to pray if you didn't think it was going to work?
Amen.
No. People want gushy.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Amen. Oh, would you please act sympathetic and get a tear in your eye, Pastor? Say, we'll get that sympathetic devil cast out of you. We'll get this thing fixed. It's like, you know, but I just told her, I said, hey, you know, you asked me to pray, I prayed. I believe God did it. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, she found out that, you know, I didn't try to compromise it on the thing, but Wanda found out and she became like, you prayed, hey, it's worked.
Hallelujah.
She learned it because she saw the results. Is when you act like something's true, it's true. Most people love sympathy. You know, send me a card and flowers. Don't treat me like I'm healed. Treat me like I'm dying and it's getting worse. You know, why do we treat sickness like it is just this thing that's special? Now, if somebody committed a murder, we wouldn't send them flowers and a card, would we? Well, sickness is of the devil.
Amen.
But we treat it like it's special. And people wanted to treat it like special. See, I've learned this thing. That's why I don't say anything. If I'm being attacked, I don't say anything. Because I don't want, because people, you know, somebody will want to say something dumb to me. I don't want to hear. It's like, no. And we want to talk about these things. We talk about Christ the healer. What about sickness and disease and dealing with it? There is such a mixture today, it is hard for people to have faith. They're not sure. They're not sure what's in, what's out, what's up. You know? They're not sure in life. And see, you know, we want to get the fact, what's the Bible say? What's the Bible telling us? People need to understand. What about the character of God? What's God? Do you know what God's really like? See, we don't have that. You know, we say, you know, God is love. That's a nice overview. What does it mean? Most Christians, I can go in any Bible church and they'll tell me God loves everybody. But He makes you sick for some reason. Dear Lord. Now they turn around and that same preacher heard that I did something to make my kids sick, he'd be mad at me. But he said, you love his God. who is your father who makes you sit. See, that's why we want to think, we need to think this stuff out. We need to get it out where we have a clear vision, where we have clear, because understand this, you not to come in faith, you can't come into faith with God if you don't know Him. Faith is based upon knowledge. Faith is never based upon what you see or what you feel. It's based on knowledge. It's based on knowledge. Now people say, well, it's hard to believe on something that you can't see or can't feel. That's the biggest lie in the world. You do it all the time.
Amen.
You act on things that you don't know. Somebody tells you something's going over in your crane. You weren't ever there, didn't see the place, don't know anybody there, and you fall for it right away.
Amen.
Some sinner tell you anything on the news and people just boom, boom, gobble it down. You know, I don't know if most of you folks remember Three Mile Island when it went on, it happened. And I remember all these people were getting out of town. They were all leaving town because they were afraid this radiation and that stuff would happen and this, you know, they were doing some venting of it. And everybody got fear and leaving town. I didn't see any radiation. People were telling us it was there. They were telling, hey, everybody's acting like you go over in Christianity and you have Christians throw rocks at you when you talk about things you can't see or feel. You know, I didn't feel radiation. I didn't see no radiation, but people are packing up and leaving. People do it all the time. But when it comes to God, why? Because you're dealing with demonic forces. We're dealing with ways we were taught. We don't have a pure knowledge. We have a mixed knowledge of God. Somebody can't feel God. And say, well, I don't think God there. I just didn't feel like God was there in the service today. I just didn't feel like God was in it. Well, God's here whether you like it or not. You don't have to respond to it. You don't have to do anything. But there's one thing about it. Don't matter how much God is here, doesn't mean you're going to get a thing.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much you feel that God's here, doesn't mean you get a thing. Because I will tell you this, in my I get up here, I can get an anointing, but you know I walk around all week and I don't have that on me. And I got to walk by faith that God's around me no matter what. I don't feel a thing. And see, you got to get, we're living in a world today, in a false Christian world that's based upon seeing, it's based upon feelings, it's based upon all this kind of stuff. A knowledge of God that isn't right or it isn't perfected. It's not a perfected knowledge that, man, I have a guarantee. And it ain't like a guarantee in this world where men can back a business goes under and you're a guarantee that the thing you bought there was supposed to be a lifetime guarantee and it didn't last 2 years. Now they're out of business and they're gone. You know, I always get a kick out of these people go into business and are in for 5 years and are given lifetime warranties. You probably won't be here in another three. So I was telling you, now the lifetime warranty, you know what that means to me? It ain't worth spit. Because you go out of business, it ain't no lifetime warranty on it. And I've had companies that are in business have lifetime warranties and they won't keep them. And you know, it'll cost you more money to take them to court than what you get out of it. So they know that. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ gave me a lifetime warranty. Hallelujah. His word is a lifetime warranty that will stand. And you got to come to that. And we got to get people that place. Look, you can't minister to anybody more than you're convicted of truth.
Amen. Preach.
I learned this. The Lord spoke to me about this. I was just a young Christian when He first started to talk to me about healing. When I first started to get under listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching, and the Lord started to have me study in that area. And He said to me, in other words, you need to have a conviction. You need to have within yourself, because He said, people will take a hold of the conviction that you have, and He said, it'll help bring them to faith. You need to understand this. If you can't get it, you ain't gonna try, you're gonna have a hard time trying to get anybody else to believe to get it. And I can tell in a person's voice whether they really believe what they're saying. I was around all the time, hear people make confessions of so-called faith. And I think, yeah, All they did was what Randall Greer says this often. He said, a lot of ministers are doing nothing but Bible book reports. That's what a lot of Christians do. They do a Bible book report and they're confessing. They're confessing what the Bible said, but it's not conviction. One of the things, it must become a conviction in you. It must be something. It's just like with eating food and that stuff. You know, you get a person who's malnourished. They start eating good food to bring their body back. They don't eat one meal and now their body's back. Your spirit, you need to understand this, your spirit needs build up. Amen. You need to feed upon the Word of God till you know that you're ready to make a confession of faith. Many times I'm going over in the areas, I make confessions, and I'm not making a confession from the standpoint to bring something to pass. I'm saying it to build my faith up till I'm ready to pull the trigger. I've watched people do this. I've watched people walk for years saying stuff, and none of it was ever pulling a trigger. And I watched it never work for them either. Never worked for them. Why? You've got to understand if you're in faith or not. If you don't know that you're in faith, you're not in faith. Thinking that you're in faith just because you say, I believe something. You can believe something's true, but it may be just to a certain level. The Bible talks about people weak in faith. They have a faith that's weak. It talks about people being strong in faith. It talks people have shipwrecked faith. So you have to know about your faith. Is my faith strong? Is my faith able to accomplish what I need or want? You know, you understand this. It doesn't matter what you want. It's what you believe for.
Amen.
You know, I might want $1 million. But, I mean, I'm not in the place, right? I ain't in the place. I tell you what, I can call some money in, though. I can do it. I know how to, for my personal life, I know how to call some things in. But see, you have to know where you can. I'll tell you this. See, I knew when I first started out. Like I always told the story of Wanda and I, $20. I mean, you might have asked me that $20 was as big to me as if you'd have said it was $100,000. I mean, believe God for $20, you know, so, you know, I had to know. I know people never believe God for a nickel and then all of a sudden they need a whole bunch of money and they're saying, I'm going to believe God for that money, and I just laugh. They'll say, pray for me, and I'll pray for them that they aren't so stupid. Say, God, wake that knucklehead up. Why? Because they're on a dangerous road. You know what happens? They will go through this thing saying they were believing God that didn't come to pass, and after a while, see, God doesn't do that stuff. You know, that stuff don't work.
Now preach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen that happen time and time again to people. They do that stuff. Fred Price, he used to have a book out. I don't know if it was right. It's called Faith, Foolishness, or Presumption. And there was a lot of foolishness and presumption going on called faith. And you know what? We've all done it at one time or another. Every one of us has done it. But you know, you grow up over time. It's just like children. You know, you watch your kids, you know, you just don't slap them over the head because they get into presumption and doing stuff. But you know, they're learning, they're growing up, and you know, you got them along, and sometimes you have to stop them and sit them down and say, you know, let's get real about this thing. But, you know, that's all part of just growing up, and you're in that. But you come to a place, you have to learn to identify within yourself where you're at in this thing. Is looking, and then, you know, I'm not going off the subject here of dealing with Jesus Christ, because these things need to be talked about. There's questions that need to be asked. There's things that you should not be afraid to go for God. If you don't know, dealing with stuff, ask God. I ask God why certain things go certain ways. I want to know. There's things that I've learned over time that really, from a ministry standpoint, one of the things that people, and we're going to talk about this, we're talking about, because many times in the areas of healing, the majority of the time when we're dealing with the areas of healing, you need to get this, the majority of the time will not be instantaneous. The majority of the time it will not be instantaneous. Majority of the time it will not be. Majority of the time people recover. That's what it is. They recover. Thank God. You know, I've had numbers of miraculous healings, but the miraculous one came over time. They didn't come instantaneously. When I had my heart attack, it didn't come instantaneously. I believed. I got a hold. I knew I was believing, but I was still hurting. When I went for a run, I was still hurting. Then I turned around and miraculously it happened to me, but it wasn't right away. I talk about my foot. I tore the ligaments of my foot. It didn't happen. I had a painful night of my foot hurting a whole lot. I went to an air foot and my foot hollered, but I'm just believing I'm healed. All of a sudden I got a miraculous healing, but it didn't happen instantaneously. Now I want you to get this, because dealing with this, I wish sometimes, I think ministers make a mistake, especially some of those that have healing ministries do this. And I wish they would be a little bit more explaining to people, because in the one side they're blessing people, but another side they're hurting people. Because they will stop and they'll ask people like, you got healed, you know, you come and get a testimony. And what they have, they have these people give testimonies, and the other people sit up there and think, well, I must not have got anything. They should stop and tell them, hey, hold it. Now you're gonna, just because somebody's had an instantaneous, that don't mean you didn't get nothing. Amen. You stand in faith. You stand in faith. Hallelujah. You know, I can tell you about wonderful miracles, greater miracles happened over time than happened that were given in meetings and people gave. Absolutely fantastic. I've listened to ministers give testimonies about meetings where they ministered a person and a person over days. Some people, it may be even over months it takes place, but it takes place an astronomical miracle.
Amen.
And see, this is one of the things they do. They don't explain these things, and people think, well, I didn't have anything happen, so I must not got something. They didn't tell. No, that ain't the way it works. You can act in faith, and nothing seems to be changing at the time. Nothing seems to be changing. Why? Because see, faith is not moved. Faith's not moved because somebody got healed. You know, one of the songs that we sing, it came out of the revival out of Missouri there, one of the songs, it says, you know, that we see and we believe, but by faith we receive. You know, you can see and believe that God heals because of what you see. You see somebody get healed. But that ain't how you get healed. You get healed by receiving. See, when you know you received, you got it, whether it showed up right away. The guy that showed, that right away got it, he's no better off than you are. If he wasn't really in much faith, God may have did that for that individual because of where they were, a little faith, but they were trying to do. But you're in a place of faith, you can hold it and get it. See, when I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, help me, when I just got the revelation of that. And he said this. He said the highest level of faith, highest level of receiving healing is by faith. It's not by gifts of the Spirit. It's not some guy got a special anointing. The highest level is you believe the Word of God. That's the highest level. You see, the church preaches the lowest level. And this is why we have low-level healing. When I came into the kingdom, they were preaching a high level. Not today. It's all low-level faith. This is why we don't have. We're trying to have a healing revival we can't bring because we should know better. God is expecting things out of us. This is not criticism. It's just the way that it is. See, what is our big complaint today? What, the running of our nation? Nobody has to live to a standard. Nobody, everybody gets what they want. Everybody, and we're sitting around complaining about why the church is doing the same thing. We do the same thing. We want God. We want God to be our sugar daddy. And we don't have to come to a responsibility. We don't have to come. He's just going to take care of it all. Well, I found out he would sure like to if I would cooperate. He would sure like to take care. But he has an expectation of me. Amen. There's people out here that he has a much lower expectation than he has for me. And you should say to yourself, what's his expectation? Are you trying to live on the level of somebody else just because they get by with certain stuff? I hear people do it. Well, you know, so-and-so, God does this for them and they don't do nothing. And they act like that means I can go walk over there. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, well, hey, look what God did for David. And he even killed a guy and that stuff. And I said to him, I said, yeah, David wasn't born again. You tried. You won't live as long as David. I'll guarantee you, you'll be dead. The devil done kill you and hauled you off to hell, you idiot. I mean, how people think so dumb, though. It's like, David, look back there at a man who wasn't born again. He's walking in the knowledge he has. And a born-again Christian stands there and says, you know, I'm going to pick some guy out of the Old Testament who wasn't saved, and I'm going to act like him, and I can get away with it. Say, man, what Bible have you been reading? And he said he's full of the Spirit. I would just like to cast it out of him. Get him filled with the right one. You see, I know this. God has a greater expectation on me of things because of revelation He's given me.
Amen.
And we need to understand that. That there's. But you know what? I don't think that's bad. Because I want to tell you this. I can get a bigger payday.
Amen.
If I walk right.
Amen.
See, there's benefit.
Amen.
I mean, people, well, I don't want to know too much. Well, God won't expect as much. Yeah, but you're going to live on this low level down here. And there's things that you can't get a hold of. Others will get a hold of around you.
Amen.
And you'll keep asking to pray for you to get that for you because you, you know, mm-hmm. want to keep being a baby. Nah, you know what? I don't mind being a daddy. I still don't want to be the little, I don't want to back to that little kid thing. See, we have today, people just love to be the little kid thing. They want to stay over and that's somebody else take care of me, somebody else pat me and burp me, somebody else do those things. I'll tell you what, I don't like, man, I don't like that. I don't want that life. Hallelujah. I want to learn to live for myself. And see, we need to get that in us. We have these pressures all around us pushing into us. Right today, I'm going to tell you, there are spirits of downright laziness. And especially spiritual laziness.
Amen.
You know, the devil gets you over to want to work you in the natural all the time to keep you away from the spiritual.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, I want to work all the time in the natural and spend very little time over in the spiritual. That ain't God.
Amen.
There's got to be a balance.
That's right.
Anything you love more than Jesus,
amen.
You're not worthy of Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we need to get this. We want to put faith in people and we want to teach people how to release faith. That's what we want to do. You know, do you ever think about, I mean, because in James wrote, you know, that... if anyone's sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. You know, pray over them in the name of the Lord. He said the prayer of faith will heal the sick, the Lord will raise them up. I've said this before, and I want to get it again. Very seldom do I ever see somebody lay hands on a sick person that are going to pray for them that they pray the prayer of faith. Almost never. They pray for God to heal the person. That's not the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith should thank God He healed and Jesus took their infirmities and bore their sick. And thank God they have their healing right now in the name of Jesus. They got it. And then tell the person, raise your hands and thank God you're healed. Don't do that. Person walks away and goes over. And they say, oh, we prayed a prayer of faith. No, you didn't. The prayer of faith believes it receives when you pray. If you believe you receive it, what do you do if you believe you got something? You should be thankful. If you got prayed for something and you didn't thank God for giving to you, you weren't operating in faith. Don't be surprised it don't show up.
Amen. Preach.
That's just good preaching. This is simple Bible. This is simple. This is what the faith message is. The word people have become the worst today at this stuff. You know why? They don't study anymore. They think they know. I don't consider... that I know. I'll tell you what, there's so many things God has taught me. I got to constantly go back over things because I'm human. There's things I just sort of slip by you. And you got to, I go over it and say, my God, my notes, I forgot all about this. This is really good. This is really, you know, God showed that this is really, yeah, boy, I got to get back into this again. I got to stand and then get this out. You do that. People don't, they're not doing that anymore. People think they know. I've done funerals for spirit-filled Christians who I couldn't get them to study and get into the Word because they just kept making their little faith confession. Oh, I know how to believe God. I know how to believe. And I knew they weren't getting nothing. I knew they weren't. You never get to the place. You never get to the place. Boy, I just know. What you realize not, that's an arrogance.
Amen. Preach.
You know, if Peter had to go back and remind people, he said, here, I got to remind you of this. You need reminded. That's why I need reminded all the time. I get over, now that I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of times I've listened to Kenneth Hagin's thing on healing. You know, I just felt, just go listen to that again. I'm listening. I'm not listening to that thing for teaching. I'm listening to that for me. Oh, my! I listen to that thing. It's like, my God, it's like I got a booster shot. Dear Lord, it's like, woo! I listen to it, I think, man, just, it fine-tunes you. You know?
Amen.
Because we got all this stuff. The government's trying to push right now. They're trying to get back over and push COVID again. Ain't nobody dying from it, but they're trying to push. Oh, get a shot, you might get it. You know, whoever knows, you might sneeze. Just never. I'm serious. You may sneeze. You never know. And they're trying to get people to get up. They're telling about, oh, we get back here. You know what we got to do in the hospitals? We got to get the masks back on. No, we got to get the masks back on. They didn't work the last time. But we got to get them back on again. See, they want to go back down through. They're going to go back down through. Hold it. We want to get you over. You know, I'm just telling you, it's the devil wanting to put fear into you, make you afraid. Because he already owns them. And you know what? You stand up and talk what the word says, and you know, you're not realistic.
Amen.
I want you to know this right out. I ain't real. I ain't real. See, you need to be, well, you need to do all these, you know, they'll take out all these things in the natural that you have to do, you know. We said, the devil's been seeking in. You know, the devil, you know, he bought the diets to the church. He bought all this thing. All these things you got to do. And you know what? We left faith in the word. God couldn't keep me. That I had to do everything from a natural to make things work. I'm going to tell you what. You're living in a decaying world. And I'm going to tell you what. You will not succeed following the natural. The natural is becoming less and less reliable. And it's becoming weaker and weaker and weaker all the time. I mean, you just take all the recalls of food and stuff anymore and salmonella and stuff. You better be walking by faith.
Amen.
Or you know what? I'll have to give up my spare time to come to the hospital and visit you. Hey, let's be real about it.
Amen.
Get in faith. Hallelujah. You know, I go to a restaurant to eat. I always pray over my food. You know why? You know, I don't pray. Well, we're just thanking God. No, I'm sanctifying it because I don't know what's going on in that kitchen. I don't know what's going on in that place.
Amen.
They may want to be very good and they're doing their best. But I'm going to tell you what, I ain't dying from their lunch. I've gone on the mission field, and I know this unbelief in it. And I watch mission. I mean, with one minister I know, my word's a church, and he has a big church, and he talks about faith and all this stuff. And man, I tell you, he almost died a couple times on the mission field. He can't go eat. He ain't got no faith about eating food. Oh, you just got to watch it when you go out there. You know, you got to watch it. I said, man, I've been out there, and I ate things I didn't even ask. I just didn't want to know. You know, hallelujah. But I'm trying. If God sends me somewhere, He didn't send me there to get me sick and kill me.
That's right.
So if I decide to go get sick and die, I'm an idiot. Hallelujah. Man, when I was over in India and I was watching them clean chicken, I was sitting about from here to the back of the room away, and I'm looking at all these women are sitting out there on the concrete slab, and I see this black stuff just sort of moving around. I'm thinking, what on earth is that? We're sitting over here, and I thought, I got to check this out. I walked over, and it's flies. This chicken was covered with flies, and they're out there cutting it up and stuff. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, there wasn't 50 flies over there. There was enough flies over there to carry a human away. Hallelujah! But you know what? I know about faith.
Amen.
That's bigger than flies.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to intentionally show off to go do something stupid, which some people do. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, I've learned this. Paul said about don't ask. When you go to, I take that literally. Don't ask. You just, glory to God. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you might see what you didn't want to see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But see, we want to walk by, and this is why. See, God will protect you and take care of. This is the faith life.
Amen.
This is a real life. This is a real way to live. And it does work. It works. And you need to get into yourself on that this works. Get it into yourself. This stuff is true. Paul would have never wrote about the sanctification of food if it did not work.
Amen.
Is that Bible true? Is my food set apart? Is it sanctified? It is. It's sanctified when I'm eating it. You know, I've been with people already and ate meals and stuff, and everybody else got sick off a meal and I didn't.
Amen.
See, it don't matter we pray. Did I believe what I prayed?
Amen.
See, people go through all the pray stuff. Well, I'm thanking God for the food that's going to kill me. Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. We haven't left there. We're going to be talking about the healing ministry of Jesus. But I really felt this morning, like none of this is in my notes. God was just talking to me last night and this morning about is getting over these areas, because we need to get things cleared up about the ministry of healing, how it works and what it is. Why? So you can participate in it. The believer is told to lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. Now, you notice he didn't say and pray. Did you notice he didn't say that?
Yeah.
No, 90% of the church never noticed it. They believe when you lay hands on somebody, you pray. It didn't say pray. It said, lay your hand in the name of the Lord. This is just as effective. In the name of Jesus, be healed.
Amen.
That's it. That's as effective than some guy prayed for 15 minutes and, you know, prayed around the world with the missionaries and everything else.
Amen.
Did you ever notice going to big meetings where they're laying hands on people? How many times do you think they stop and do a prayer over people? They don't. They walk down through. Be healed in the name. Down on. Be healed in the name of Jesus. They walk down through. They're going down through. But see, we have this idea about prayer. There's nothing wrong with prayer, but we put this thing in this category that is way above everything else, and it's not. Now, one thing is the Spirit wanted me to bring forward is this. There were people, there's different ones that have, past years. In fact, you go over to, from John G. Lake, to, you know, you go back to Smith Wigglesworth, talk about Smith Wigglesworth, like he passed 1948 or something like that. He passed away somewhere around. These ones talked about in the last days there was going to come a revival, a move of God. And it's going to be different. And he said it's going to be a move of the Word and the Spirit. Now, the healing revivals, now it isn't that they didn't preach any word, but during the healing revivals of the 1950s, it went from actually, I think, they say back to, usually generally they say 1948, the ones say about started in 47. I guess it was where you were at in the nation where it really started to break out. And it lasted like till 1958 when it really started waning out in it. And then, you know, we had the teaching ministry started and things like that, where the word started getting, God was raising up teaching ministries and doing that. And then the charismatic renewal and things came along. But we need to understand this. The healing revivals of the 50s was mostly, it wasn't really a word movement like we think today. There's a lot they didn't know. A lot of those ministers back at that time, they only ministered, and Kenneth Hagin said this because he was a person of the Word. And he told them, he said, when you guys are dead and gone, he said, I'll still be here ministering, because he said, you have founded your ministry on gifts of the Spirit, and I've founded mine on the Word of God. And he was right. The majority of those ministers that he knew at that time, the majority of them died. There was only a couple that were still alive. You know, back in the 80s, there was only a couple of them still alive from that time period. All the rest of them had died prematurely. See, if the devil finds a way to kill you, he'll do it. But see, they got over, it's number one, they founded their ministry on gifts of the Spirit. Well, see, there's limitations on that. There's limitations on it. You're teaching people by faith, and even for the ministers themselves, a lot of them got in trouble on things because stuff they didn't know. And so, we need to understand it. So really, that wasn't a word movement. When the word movement started, it's like into today. Today we've left the Spirit. Today it's all, the word people are somehow as messed up as the people were back then with just operating in the gifts. That they got, it's a tie together. You need to understand this. We need to bring, and this is what God wants to do. God wants to bring the Word and the Spirit. See, we got this thing today, and we need to be very careful. It's just, well, I just confess the Word, and we're confessing the Word, and this and that and the other thing, trying to bring something to pass. You better listen to the Holy Ghost, what He's telling you to do. See, you can get over there and just be the Word, 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 Word. Thank God for the Word. We want to follow the Word. And the Word lets us know, but we need to listen to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, what He wants to do. What He wants. I've learned this. One of the things that I was very fortunate to learn, because the Lord told me that if I didn't learn to be led by the Spirit, that I'd amount to nothing as a Christian. That was back in February 1980. Amen. Now, I started off the Brother Hagin. Now, see, which I was very fortunate, because Brother Hagin understood the Word and the Spirit. He understood that. He was definitely a Word guy. You know, he got over in the Word and he got himself in trouble at times because he didn't listen to the Spirit. And he almost died because he didn't listen to the Spirit. On more than one occasion. Almost died because he didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. He's over here, the Word, you know, I'm following the Word, but he ain't listening to what the Spirit's telling him to do. And the devil gets attacking him. And see, we need to understand this. It's not, to set the Holy Spirit aside is to set Jesus aside. You know, this isn't something, this is not a thing just by rote, and we're just going to walk in this thing just by rote, you know. We like that. We like this thing of here, what you do, see, we have these rules we follow. Religion loves it. And today we got a lot of religion. People who are religious, and they would swear they're not. But they're just following by rote. They're walking along, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and it's okay. And they ain't paying a bit of attention to what the Spirit's saying to them, telling them to do. They ain't paying a bit of attention to them. What's the Holy Ghost saying? What's he telling me to do? See, you need to know. Just like I found out ministering to people. You have to learn to listen to the Spirit. You know, it's one of the stories I tell of a guy when we were back in dealing with the full gospel businessmen. At that time I was a president chapter there, but we had a meeting and we had a speaker, and after the speaker was done, I'm sitting there and I get chest pains. I mean, just, it wasn't like a heart attack or anything. It just hurt. Like something was hurting. Terrible. And I'm sitting there, I got these terrible pains. And this was new to me. I'd never had this happen before. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, what's wrong with me? What's going on here? Ugh, man, I'm hurting. It's like Randall Greer, you hear a knock. All of a sudden it dawned on me, this ain't natural what's going on here. You know, you don't always pick things up right away. You got to sit and look on the inside. See, you have an opportunity. I will tell you this. Every one of you at some time or another, God was trying to get your attention in something, and you acted on it in the natural and missed what God wanted you to do.
Amen.
Every one of you done it. I know, because I've done it.
Amen.
We responded to the natural, to something that was going on. It seemed so real from the Spirit, but we didn't stop and check things out. We're, you know, reactionary, you know. Just so we reacted to the natural. But anyhow, so I'm saying, all of a sudden it dawns on me, somebody out there is in real pain. Somebody out there is in really pain, real pain. So I stood up and I walked up front and I said, is there someone out there? I said, you just have really severe pains in your chest here right now. And this Mennonite farmer got up and came up front. And he come walking up front. Now, if you go from the natural, what do you think you're gonna do? Well, you know, you're gonna pray for this guy's healing, because this is why God did this, to have Ed pray for his healing. See, well, you gotta learn to listen to the Spirit. If you don't know the Spirit, you're going to have problems. This guy comes up. He said, I asked you, what happened? What's wrong? He said, we were milking the cattle tonight and I got kicked in the chest by a cow. Whoa. Cows hurt when they kick you. My mama never hurt me like that. She smacked me like that. Well, those cows get you good. They get you good. But he got kicked in the chest. I mean, man, you could end up with a your chest split and everything else. So he's standing. Now, and I want to get this, because see, we're going to minister in areas, you're going to minister healing. So what am I thinking? Well, God wants me to pray for this man's healing. This is what you're doing. So I lay my hands on him and I start declaring his healing in the name of Jesus. And see, now you got to know this. You got to learn this. I sensed the anointing lift off of me. So I started praying. I sensed the anointing lift. So you got to pay attention to what's happening. See, not what you see, not any, and it lift. So I took my hand off of him. And I sensed that anointing come. I sensed it inside. I sent it. I laid my hand on him again, started to pray, the anointing lift. And this time, I got this sense in me, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, now I knew that wasn't God. God did this supernatural thing to get a hold of Ed, to get that guy who needs healing up front. He ain't saying baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's saying pray for his healing. So Ed ignores him. He goes back and lays his hands on him, and the anointing lifts again. And I'm like, Ed, they came back to me, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I ignored it again. So, you know, I'm just going to wear the guy's hair off his head. I'm just going to put my hand back on it again. You know, I'm going to do this thing, man. I know. And I lay my hand on him, and the anointing lifts off of him. And he goes, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism. Finally, I just got frustrated. I said, have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, no. I said, be filled with the Spirit. He got instantly talking in tongues. He got healed.
Praise God. Amen.
See, God had a plan. If you wouldn't listen to the Spirit, he had never got healed if I would have stayed in my direction. See, even though I know that we could lay hands and pray for a person's healing, I know we can do that. That isn't what God wanted to do. He does other things also. He does things in other ways. That's why you got to learn to listen. People don't. We have people come and say what they want, and we respond to them not by, we respond to them generally by what we, yeah, we're going to give them, do it what they want. I'm sorry. You ain't God. And they ain't God. We don't bother finding out the Lord has anything he wants to do. What about this? What do you want to do? See, staying in his... That's one thing I learned from Dr. Cho, where he made the statement, and really God just put it in my spirit when he said, I can be sitting in a meeting with, he said, world leaders, but he says, my heart's always turned toward God. See, he's always listening to what God's going to say. People are around him. People are doing things. But he's, now, here's a man who knew the Word. He knew the Word. But he's listening to the Spirit also. God wants me to do something. Don't matter what all I know. See, there's different ways that healing. Jesus ministered many different ways in healing. Well, there's number one. He said he didn't do anything the Father didn't do. So therefore, the Father just didn't follow, lay hands on the sick and they'll get. He didn't always do that. Even though that's one way you can. But how does God want to do it? Sometimes God wants to teach you while you minister to people. And we never get taught because all we do is follow our religious path on how you do it. So teaching never goes on. A lot of what I learn about ministry to people, I learned by the Holy Spirit ministering to people. Finding out things and doing stuff, you know. It's the craziest thing. I mean, it's just like, you know, when we had the Full Gospel Businessman, when we did that thing in Lebanon and that stuff. But we had the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting went on. We had a prayer meeting before that thing. And anyhow, I mean, an anointing came on me so strong in my hands that I couldn't stand it. I mean, the anointing was on me. It was like I had my hand in an electric socket and I just could, and you couldn't pull away from it. It was literally painful. So you think, well, you know, the Lord told me, and he says this to me, he says, I walked outside the building from the prayer thing. I walked out the side door and sat out outside because I couldn't even stand. I couldn't stand to be inside. I was in pain. I mean, the anointing was so strong. I said, God, he said, you got to get this off of me. I said, I can't. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go inside and lay hands on people. Well, it was funny. He told me, and I think he said it to me of what I understood at the time because I never did get my hand on anybody because the power was strong and I just walk up and I just raise my hand. It'd fall down. But I will go down through, about halfway down through, and he said, don't try to lay hands on people. He said, just walk down to the end of the row. And so I just walked down the end of the row, and everybody fell as I walked down the row. Well, see, you got to be led by the Spirit. You can try to do things what God wants to do. See, many times God wants to do things that draw people to him rather than to you. Wow, they're a great prayer. They say the neatest prayers. I'm more interested in results than neat prayers. If in the name of Jesus is enough, let's just do it. We're in the business of getting people healed, getting people delivered. That's what we're supposed to be doing. There's not a show to it. We don't have to perform. If God isn't in it, it don't matter what we're doing. Hallelujah. He's the healer. Like Kenneth Hagin used to tell us, they say, I can't even heal a gnat's eyeball. I don't do the healing. All I do is I cooperate with him. Now, if the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me anything, I can go ahead and minister however by the word to do it. I can lay hands on people or do it. Now, the one thing is the Lord spoke to me specifically here 2 years ago. He told me specifically if to minister healing what I'm supposed to do. I see, he'll do it. You need to understand. God tells you specifically. I will tell you this. It's just the way it's going to be. People need to understand. If I do something other than he tells me not to do that, I am always going to do it that way. Because he told me to do it. Unless he says in occasion, don't do it this way, do it this way this time. I will obey it. But I'll always follow what he told me to do. Even though the Bible tells different ways that you can, he told me specifically. He told me specifically one of the things I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to tell people that the God is present. I ask people the question, you know, you believe God's everywhere? They say yes. Well, then he's here, isn't he? Then if God's here, the healing power of God is here. It's already here. He told me to tell people that. See, why? He wants to move people to faith. God's here. You know, Ed's here. Don't matter. God's here. That's what matters. God's in the place. You want to get a person faith. God's here. So healing power is here. We're not trying to get healing power here. We're not trying. He told me to tell people. See, you get people think we're praying to try to get God to come because they got a million books written about it. We pray to try to get God here. No, I try to pray so Ed get hooked up with God. Amen. Not get God here. It's get me out of the flesh and get me over in the spirit. Amen. So I can cooperate with God. That's what that's about. But we got all this wrong idea. We're going to pray and bring the presence. I mean, he's already present. What we want is the manifestation of the presence of God. He's present. Just think, everybody who dies today on the face of the earth, healing was around them. Everybody. Not one person died that healing wasn't around them. If you can find a place in the earth, God wasn't. Tell me where that one was. I want to go find that place. I want to see that place he wasn't. The scripture said if you get down to hell, he's there. Hallelujah. He ain't delivering them. He's present. We understand. God's always present. Get that in yourself. God's always present. No. See, when you're praying, God's present. People say, well, I just don't like to see. I'm reaching. Hey, get into faith.
Thank you, Lord.
God's present. He told me to tell people that. You tell people. You get people. He said, you do that. You tell them, healing is present. It's right now. It's here. So what you want to do, you want to hook up with that. See, we pray for a person. You pray if you're going to pray, prayer, the prayer of faith. You tell them. He told me to tell people, when I pray for them, they're supposed to believe they got their healing. Believe they receive it. See, that's what you're going to tell people. No, but people do this. Well, you know, they're believing God's going to do this. I'm sorry, that's not what Scripture says. You believe you receive it. Faith is believing you got it. When you got prayer, you tell the prayer. You believe you receive it, you'll have it. That's Mark 11:24. That's what about. He said, just tell people. Why? Bringing people to faith. I'm not ministering their special anointing. I'm ministering to bring people to faith. He told me to do that. To minister to bring people to faith. And then when they're done, tell them to thank God they got their healing. Get it on their mouth. They got it. Hallelujah. They're not going to get it. If you're still going to get it sometime, you ain't got it and it ain't coming either. So he told me to minister to people. So you know what? That's what I'm going to do. That's what I do is ministering to people, minister in that fashion. If they want me, you know, people say, well, pray. I need to tell them. I lay hands on the name of Jesus. Tell them to receive their healing. Receive it right now. Hallelujah. And then thank God I got it. I have it. He gave it to me. He's here. Hallelujah. We're doing in line with what the Word says. I believe I receive it, so I have it. It's mine. Now, if you believe that, it'll work. Do you think anybody would have followed that principle would have not gotten saved? No. See, I don't want to get God present to people. God's present all that. You want to get saved, you follow the same principle, you get saved. Whatever you need or whatever you want, you follow that principle. It works every time. God's here. We're not trying to get God here. I'm not trying to get God my finances. My God, He lives in me. He knows everything that's in Ed's wallet. Dear God. See, get yourself over in this thinking in this area. See, this is what we convince people. We need to live like God's around us. We're trying to get God in this nation to move, and God's already here. And we're acting like he's not. And we talk about it like he's not moving in people. We talk like he's, well, they're all messed up and they're a bunch of crazy idiots. And God's saying, yeah, you are. Hallelujah. God's here. God's here. We're not trying to get God here. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? He's here. Hallelujah. See, like I heard Kenneth Hagin say this one time. He said, would God shows up at a place, but he leaves his power at home? You know? He said, could he do that? Well, see, I'll tell you what, God and his power are one. Hallelujah. You know what? God without his power, he might as well stay home. I don't need him. I don't need just God near me. I need his power. I need him working in me. This is what I can't do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everything he got, it's present.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And on top of it, he got angels around here. Amen. Like that wasn't enough. He showed up. He sent some of his boys to hang out around. I mean, get in this consciousness, into this thinking around us. Hallelujah. Inspire your own faith. You see, there's a lot of simplicity of the word we left. We talk about, oh, God's always present. But I watch Christians generally. They don't live like God's present. They're living like they're trying to get God present. They pray like they're trying to get God present. God lives in me. Hallelujah. I'm hooked to God. You're hooked to God. Hallelujah. How much better could it get? Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Man. But you got to walk in faith. I don't care if he said, you may not, every believer, Jesus is not going to leave nor forsake, but the average believer will never enjoy the blessings of God in their life because they will never walk in faith with that. Well, you just never know. Or this may, or that. I'm going to tell you, Ed does dumb and God still don't leave me. You know what he'll do? He'll try to get me straight so he can overcome my dumb and bless me.
Amen.
That's what he does. That's his job. That's God. We're going to look at the facts as we go in this. God does not, because we're going to look at it from the area of healing. We've got to bring people over to the goodness of God, that God's intent and purpose to mankind. He doesn't have evil to bring in the earth because there's plenty of it here already. There are enough demons. We're so focused on what is bad. God is here to bless. He doesn't have anything different to give than blessing. He doesn't have anything different. He has nothing. We're in this wonderful age of the church, and God's great interest is it as many people that will leave this earth and go to heaven. That's his interest. Not so everybody makes you happy.
Amen.
See, we want to get and walk in the light of that. The goodness of God. Get over and think, you and I have such a security because I'm going to tell you what, it will overflow in people around you. It'll overflow. And that's what you want. You want to have within yourself such a security of God and his protection, his love, his care for you. And the fact that you relay that to them, that he's the same way. I don't care if they're a sinner. He wants to be that way to them. Quit treating them like they're awful. You treat them like God. Hey, hold, you know God wants to bless you? No, God wants to throw a rock at you because you don't keep me happy. You know, you don't do everything I want. No, God's interest is in blessing them. That's what he wants. See, I know from, you know, when I was a sinner and I was a pain in the neck to Christians. Hallelujah. And I found out what a lot of Christians were like. They didn't love sinners. They could have cared less. God, just send that guy someplace so he don't annoy me at work. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do something with that guy, you know, Lord. Send him off someplace. Like I always say, the one guy came to me and said, you're the last guy I thought would get saved. Now, I'd have been ashamed to say that to anybody. But you know what? He's a backslidden Christian like many are, and that's the way they are. The sinners are a pain in the neck to me. God can't save you, you pain in the neck. You're the last guy that God... And I was the first guy because I was wondering if he was saved. Because he's not acting like one. Not acting like a saint. You're going to be shocked in his last gaze who comes into the kingdom. See, I found out when I came into the kingdom. A lot of the older Christians didn't like it. Oh, no. Because you know what? I came in on fire. And they thought they were on fire. Those people weren't even a good lit candle. They were that candle down there where it got some of the wax melted down, that this little flame down there. They thought they were still burning. And you know what? They weren't burning at all. And you know what? I watched them. And when young people would come in, the youngers come and get salvation and get and on fire for God, they're always trying to put water on the fire. Oh, yeah. Oh, I had that. I was around these people. And I couldn't believe it. Boy, I've been saved for 45 years. I've been saved for 50 years. Say, don't say that to anybody because nobody knows. They were holy. Well, you know, you'll learn. You're mature, then you calm down. I ain't calmed down all these years. You can't follow God and not stay on fire.
Amen. Amen.
If you've lost the fire, you ain't following God. Now, I'm not criticizing, but you need to know. You follow God, there's fire.
Amen.
It burns. See, I get over, you can't get around the word, you just get on fire. You get, my
hallelujah.
God. It's like throwing gas on. It's just, hallelujah. And see, you want to get over there that, because what happens? See, people over time, they think we know, we're smart, we're all this stuff. You don't want, no, you want to burn. I'd rather learn less than burn and burn, rather than know a lot and just be, you know, I want to burn. People will come in the kingdom and on fire. You know what? They won't know a lot. But I'll tell you, they'll love God with all their heart. And people will get all upset as they ain't doing everything up to our standards. They're just not doing it up to our standards. And I just say, praise you, Jesus. We got to get this death out of the church and bring life back in it. Like Brother Hagin used to say, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. Hallelujah. We could use some wildfire in the church today. But people want to be calm. You know, we don't want them to think we're weird. Well, if you're going to follow God, you're going to be weird in this generation.
Amen. Preach.
Just say it out. You're going to be weird in this generation. You're following God. Hallelujah. You know, if you think about, like with Mike and Darlene, we're talking about people, you know, that come, were coming in down to their shot, their place there where they, at market, you know, and there's oddballs from every side. There's ones who are not saved, who aren't there, that are off the wall, but then there's off the wall Christians. And you know what? The off the wall Christians are the hardest to deal with. I will tell you every time. The off the wall, the ones that think they got it, they know. You know what? The guy that's a heathen, he knows he don't know. He knows. He knows. He knows. He won't argue you on religion like he knows. But the, you know the whole thing? God sends these people. Why? Because the oddballs on both sides, God wants to reach them.
Amen.
He puts them there to whatever little thing they can do to bless them people. It may not seem much. Nobody might think it's any kind of big deal, but it is a big deal. Because some of those people, they got no blessing going on at all in their life. And the fact that somebody has a care for them. A lot of Christians love crowds and hate people. We're trying to reach a world that's a mess. And you got to love it. You got to love this world. You got to love these people. They're a mess. But somebody got to show. What are we going to do? You know, we got to tell them. Say, hey, God wants to bless you. We go to the guy who's the worst of the worst. Say, hey, you know, God wants to bless you. And I ain't lying a bit about it. Mm-hmm. He sure does. Do we tell him that? Say, well, you're doing, you know, God don't like what you're doing. Hey, he's lost anyhow. Who cares? Who cares what he does? He's only way to hell. Just because he does what you like, is he going to send him to heaven? No. You tell them, you know, God wants to bless your life. He sent me here because he wants to bless your life. You know, God, I'm here to tell you God wants to bless your life.
Amen.
I had a knucklehead guy tell me years ago, he used to go to our church. He went to a seminary. I think it was more of a cemetery. Told me one day God wouldn't heal sinners. And according to him, God wouldn't heal a saint either because he couldn't get healed for nothing and he had major problems. But I said, God wouldn't heal a sinner. I said, isn't that interesting? I said, in the Bible he did. And he just looked at me dumb, you know? You know? Because you don't read the Bible. See, you got all these ideas. I said, number one, I said, even in Israel, God, all the Jews, he healed. Not one of them was saved. Not one of them were born again. I said, now they had a healing covenant. But I said, we have a centurion. He didn't have a healing covenant. God healed his servant for him. And then we have the woman whose daughter was possessed. And she wasn't a Jew. And then he went over there and that guy that was demon possessed and could break chains. And he delivered that guy. I said, you tell me God don't heal. I said, God, now his whole problem was this. God could not bless him because of his arrogance and not thinking he was somebody special and something. And I'm sorry. And he didn't realize he was the guy that God couldn't bless. It isn't God didn't want to. God couldn't. God couldn't bless him. Because of his thinking. What they call stinking thinking. And see, get that out of your body. We're in this world here. We look across America. I will guarantee there has never been a revival that has ever come to any nation where God, which seemed many times the most ugly, came to Christ. The most ugly. I love the story that Kenneth Hagin tells, ministering in a church. And this goes back in the 40s, and he's ministering in a church. And he said, you know, they had days after the Depression, he said, they would have, he said, Saturday nights, nobody had any place to go. He said, these towns and that stuff, there was nothing really going on or nothing to go to. And he said, the war, people couldn't drive very far, anything like that, because they rationed gas and all that. He said, people would go to church because that was the only thing in town. And he said, they would come. He said, the church building would be full. And he said, people would stand outside around and they would open the windows and then people could hear the preaching on the outside. But they do that. What Brother Hagin talks about, he said, there's a guy that was in the church. He said, and the Lord spoke to him and told him, there's a guy that has a double hernia. I want to heal him. And he said, when he looked by, he saw this guy and he knew it was a guy. He told the guy to stand up. And he said, told him to stand up. And he said to the guy, he said, the Lord tells me you're a sinner. And he said, you're right. And he said, the Lord tells me you have a double hernia. He said, right again, preacher. He said, the Lord told me if you come up here, he said, I'll lay hands on you and those two hernias you have will disappear. And Brother Hagin said, the guy come up, stood in the front, and he said, he said, now I want some men to come up here. I'm going to check this guy to make sure. I want him to check so people know that this is real. This is so. And they checked this guy does have these hernias and he's got two of them. He said the guy's never walked down the guy or anything like that. He just told the guy to be healed in the name of Jesus. And those two hernias disappeared. Now, he said, there was a minister there who was at the meetings who, it wasn't his church, but he was a section head over a section area of that denomination and that area and that stuff. But he was a pastor of a church, but he was over this section. And he said to Brother Hagin, he said, I just don't understand. He said, why would God call that man out and heal him? And Brother Hagin didn't know the guy or nothing about it. He said, well, I don't know. He said, that man's wife says, goes to my church. Said, she is the most, she's just a wonderful Christian. He said, him? He said, that man is the most evil. He said, filthy, dirty. He said, most people know him, won't even shake hands with him. He said, at that time, they said he was a bootlegger. He was a drug pusher. He was all kinds of, they said, this guy, anything evil, he was in it. And he said, this is the way this guy is. He said, now why would God pick him out and heal him? Brother Hagin said, I don't know. He said, but I just know the Bible says this, that Jesus died for the ungodly and he qualified. Now I want you to see that was a gift of healing. God would not. Now I'm just going to tell you, there's one thing I've learned over time. See, you know what God, here's the way God is. God shoved that right in the face of the Christians. This minister said, we got people in my church here and they need healing. They don't get healed. This guy gets healed. Why? He's too dirty and mean to be, you know, this guy's too bad. And God shows up and says, I'm going to pick the worst guy in the crowd and shove it right in the face of these holier than thou Christians. Woo! Praise Jesus. Well, a year later, Brother Hagin was back in that same area ministering. In fact, he was ministering in the church of that section leader. And that guy, Brother Hagin said, two nights later, he got saved in that meeting he was in. And he said, and then got filled with the Holy Ghost. at that meeting. And this minister said about this guy that he said, you know, he said that guy was 100% for the devil, but said he's 110% for God. He said that guy has brought more people in the church and brought people to Christ than he said the rest of our whole congregation has done. Amen. See, all the holier than thou. Sometimes God just comes and shoves it right in your face. Amen. What you criticize may end up walking before you. Mm-hmm. See, these are things that we're going to go in and see. This is why we want to follow the Word. The Word and the Spirit. You follow the Word and the Spirit, we're going to have to walk in love toward people. We're going to have to walk in love toward the ugly. Let God bring the ugly. Hallelujah. They're bad. We got to tell people God wants to bless their life. He wants to help them. Things are a mess. God wants people to spend an eternity with Him. Jesus said, one of the things He told Kenneth Hagin, the visionary, He said, we're supposed to tell people and invite them to go to heaven with us. See, we need to let people know. You know, Jesus got in trouble with the religious people. You know what He did? He went and ate with the sinners. Why? Because you can't stomach it hanging out with those religious folks. You can't eat without throwing up going to their house. Hallelujah. Jesus died for the ungodly, and I qualified. Hallelujah. See, never get self-righteous. Don't go to that place. Hallelujah. I love to see what God's going to do. Amen. These last days, I think he's just going to do so many wonderful, glorious things, but not everybody's going to think all of it's glorious and wonderful. There were people who didn't like it. Just when I came in there, there was people who didn't like the move of God. They didn't like me as a young Christian and manifestations of the Spirit through me. They didn't like it. They didn't like that. Because see, they were holy. He was supposed to do that through them. They didn't realize. I was just operating in the faith. I just believed the gifts were supposed to operate. I believed God was supposed to do things through me. I was taught that. So I just thought God would show up when He had showed up. I just thought that. I was dumb enough. I hadn't sat around them long enough to get that driven out of me. See, I'll tell you what, there are places you go. If you got any fire, you go to those churches. I watch people do this. They start off on fire, go back to their old dead church. Just let them throw water on them. Got to cool them down, you know. Hallelujah. Become nice and religious like we are. Glory to God. So if we're going to go on more in teaching in these areas, but I want to get some things around because why? I want us to get so convinced that God wants to bless and help people, that God wants to do something for them. Hallelujah. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to tell people, even if they criticize you for it. So what? Tell them. They got to hear the truth. They'll never stand before the Lord. If they turn it down, they'll hear about it from God. But I don't want to hear it before them, but I didn't tell them.
Amen. Preach.
I don't want to hear it from that side, you know. We didn't tell them, you know, God loved them. God wanted to bless them. God wanted to bless their life. Hallelujah. See, we need to tell people because that's God's right now in the business. The biggest thing God wants to do is bring people in the kingdom. Jesus comes back. He wants a crowd. And there's many of His people who think they're ready and they're not. I don't want to be the Laodicean church. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be where Jesus is standing on the outside and can't get in.
Amen.
Jesus gets in because we personally let Him in.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See, you and I can answer the knock. And I'll tell you what, I'm answering the knock. He's knocking and I'm answering. Amen. I'm just what it's going to be. You have the Spirit of God in you. Listen to the Spirit in you. Follow the Word. And this is what we want to look through. We're going to look at these, the character of God things. God is great. He is wonderful and He's good. And we got to get this within ourselves. He is reaching. Jesus died for every ungodly person. There's not one He didn't die for. And there's no one that we should not tell them that He did. We should not tell them, you know, like God's mad at them because they're doing something wrong. God ain't mad at them because they're doing it. Sinners are on their way from hell. He don't expect them to act like saints. He don't expect them to act like saints. They ain't going to act like saints. You know, I never acted anything like toward a saint until I got born again. I acted like just what I was. I acted like my father was the devil. But see, we can't, as believers, acting like our father's the devil. This is not a narrow club we're in. This thing, just special, you know, this is a special club we got, you know, this special. No, it's not. As many as want to come into this kingdom. It's not about drawing people to ourselves. It's drawing people. It's not about making crowds. It's not about this. It's bringing people to Christ. It's about His crowd, His family. And see, that's what we want to do. We want for His family. We want to reach out. And so let's do that. We get through this thing. Get it where the goodness of God is in you, that we look at people and say, man, you know, God help these people. I mean, I can really, from my heart, I cry out for our president. I don't even ask God about him making good decisions. I want him to get saved because he's on his way to hell. This guy is so messed up. Sometimes I get the idea that his mind is past the understanding point. And it's like, to me, that don't bother you? See, all people can look at is the bad decisions he makes. He's on his way to hell. Man, I had a neighbor went to hell. And I heard his voice crying. I heard him in his agony from hell. And I'm going to tell you what. I don't want nobody going there. I don't care what wickedness a man did in the earth. On this place in this earth, God can deliver that person. Amen. And they can become a child of God. If God needs to judge him, let him do that. It ain't going to do that. That's not my job. I don't know enough about him. My heart goes out because I think about, here's a man, because God told me, you know, if I'd walk with him, he'd take care of my family. And we got a president, don't walk with God and look at his family. Look at what's happening. Look at our past presidents. He once said they're Christian. Look how their families turned out. Things ain't been real good. They don't walk real close to God, you know. They had presidents talking, oh boy, pray for us and this and that and stuff. But boy, they sure didn't walk in the light of some things. Why? Because why? The effect on their families. You watch your families and what happens in their families and what goes on. See, we need to know that. This is why, man, you walk with God, God will keep your family. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God will honor you because you walk right with Him. Because see, maybe my family members don't deserve, but hallelujah, God will bless.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He spared Noah's family, not because he was righteous. Glory to God. So let's walk right. Hallelujah. I want our president. I want people. I mean, we're dealing down from a natural standpoint. Our Congress and things in a mess. I mean, they can't make a good decision generally for to save their life. They can't do it. But you know what? Our greatest need isn't a whole bunch of things to straighten out this nation so we get out of debt. We get out of debt and everybody go to hell. I want people saved.
Amen.
We want people saved. Hallelujah. We're on a place of darkness is setting in. I don't know if you folks heard, but they made a big rattle with it, you know, online, because I think the defense minister in Sweden told the people of Sweden to get ready for war. He said war's coming. Well, they won't say much of that here in America. They won't tell you. But I'll tell you what, things are not pretty out there. You can't, if you're listening to American News, Newsmax, and them things, all you know is about the political fight, and that's all you know. You don't know anything about what's happening out there in the world, because they don't know. They're so focused, any of the groups, American news media is just so focused on our problems going on here. We don't see the explosion that's going on in the world. And the Bible tells us about some explosions going on in the world. Ezekiel wrote about a war. Ain't going to be a pretty one. But it is going to set some things straight for the last days. Before the Antichrist comes to power. But see, we're on the hinge of this kind of thing we're stepping into. And when Jesus told Kenneth Hagin before the things get to their worst, he said, I'm coming. We need to tell people. I'm not telling people wonderful time's coming. You want Jesus because you need blessed. There's not going to be a wonderful time coming. Many in this earth are going to suffer. They're going to suffer. It wasn't God's plan. It's not God's plan. But God's calling people because He wants to bless people. He wants to help them. Hallelujah. And that's what he's in that business. And while the church is here, he's in that business. Things are going to change when the church leaves. But the day of salvation is still here. The day of deliverance. And it's for you too. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through or what's happening to you or what's taking place. Hallelujah. God's for you. God's for you. Who could be against you? God's for you. And so you need to get over that. God has good planned for you. You may have to learn and understand what to do to hook up to what he has. But you know, you got to get it first in your mind that he has good. If you get it in your mind, well, you know, I've messed up and God just, you know, I'm too far. I've done too many things. I've had people say that to me. I've just messed up so much and I've done so many things. Well, hallelujah. God ain't changed.
Amen.
He wants to bless. He'll always find a way. Hallelujah. And see, don't matter what you're dealing with or what's happening. There's some people don't expect these last days in the church world to get blessed because of all the bad things that are coming on. And the Bible tells us there are. But God hasn't changed.
Amen.
God hasn't changed. He's not saying, well, devil, go get him. He's not doing that. So keep yourself over there. God's in the blessing business. Hallelujah. So you got to keep your mind. See, if you don't, you get over there in those thoughts and they start eating at you. You know, they're talking about today how people are basically losing their mind. They're talking about all this dementia among young people. This is all demonic stuff. People thinking bad thoughts. Thoughts are coming. There's demons bringing people thoughts and they're picking them up. The things that go on around them, people are dwelling on them. They're not dwelling on God's goodness. They're not dwelling on God. They're not doing that. We need to tell people. They have to hear good because they can't hear you telling them what a knucklehead they are all the time because they already know that things ain't working. We've got to get our minds renewed. Hallelujah. When the war's on, you need to hear from heaven. And if your mind is full of crazy going on up there driving you nuts, you don't hear. Hallelujah. See, we need a heart that's steadfast, a heart that's strong. Hallelujah. And you know, if you got one, what a blessing you can be to others. See, people need leaders. They don't need people criticizing. They need somebody that can lead them out of something. Israel needed a Moses. Somebody to lead them out of Egypt. Not somebody to... Now look, those people were a mess in Egypt. We know they were. Look how they were when they got out. But they were a mess in Egypt. But God had to send somebody to lead them out. People that are a mess, God will send somebody to lead them out. We can lead people out of their mess. We can lead them out of their mess. Hallelujah. We can ask people to come, follow, lead out. Some will come, some won't, don't want to. Some want to stay in their mess. Well, hey, love them anyhow. Hey, anytime you want to leave, let me know. But we're still calling them out of Egypt, aren't we? Hallelujah. And you know what? They're not going to move the first, second, or third time you tell them. There's many people over time. Seeds take time to germinate. Seeds take time. But I'll tell you this, in this world today, if anybody knows that somebody cares about them, is the biggest thing. Because so many people today don't know if anybody cares. They have no idea. And caring is not getting a check from the government. Caring is not, that's not, you can do all these things to so-called meet people's need. That don't mean you have any attachment to that individual at all of care. Most people that give to the poor give to satisfy themselves. It ain't the poor.
That's right.
To make themselves feel good. Well, I do this and I do that, so I'm good. I give, you know, so I feel. They don't love the poor. They don't care what happens to them. Just give them money, say, let me alone. Hallelujah. This is good preaching anyhow. Let's walk in love. Hallelujah. Christianity is wonderful.
Amen.
Because it starts with Christ. He's wonderful. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I just want to say thank you today. Lord God, Father, how fantastic you are. Lord God, Lord, it's beyond the comprehension of you sending your son into this world and your son's willingness, our Master Jesus, to step down in here for us. Hallelujah. who died for the ungodly, and everybody was ungodly. Everybody was in the wrong camp. Everybody was owned by the by the long Lord. And you stepped down in this earth. Man was in a condition, and even when they walked in your covenant, the best that they could get, thank God, you, when they died, they went to a place of comfort, but they couldn't even be in your presence. They couldn't even, Lord God. And to think that you died through Jesus Christ, as Lord God, is because you want us in your presence. That's your great desire. Lord, there's a day coming where there's going to be a new heaven and earth, and the Bible says that God is going to come down and live with man. God's been waiting. Father, you've been waiting to come and live with man. It's a phenomenal thing. Hallelujah. Lord God, we sit on this side and we have a hard time putting up with people. And your whole desire is you want to live with man. And you sent your son so you can do that. Hallelujah. Jesus, oh, what a Lord you are. What a Lord you are that you stepped out of the glories of heaven for us and came down here. Hallelujah. Lived in this slum. Walked among the sinners. Walked among, Lord God. Oh, but Lord God, you didn't turn people away. You took them in. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you that you loved us so much that when you went that cross, that the sin of the entire world you took upon yourself. All the wicked and evil that men did, you didn't judge them for it. You took it upon yourself and paid the penalty. What an absolute phenomenal God. Hallelujah. And you were raised from the dead so men could be justified in the presence of God. That through faith, not any deeds or work of our own. And Lord God, we stand before you today. It is mind-blowing that we get to live and walk in your presence just because we believed in what you did. Lord, I know it almost sounds like nonsense because, you know, we're always trying to earn something. We always want to think, well, we're doing some great deed. But Lord God, what a deed Jesus did to bring us in. And I just want to thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord, we surely want to walk in love toward the people of this earth. Lord, there's so many that's so much of a mess out here. Lord, really, it's almost a demonic insanity going on among many people. Lord, they can't see the destruction that's sitting right in front of them. They don't even see it. Lord God, Jesus, you didn't die to judge them. You died to save them. And Lord God, in this day and time, Father, we want to preach the truth. It don't matter what others are saying and others are doing, and maybe they'll criticize us, but Father God, we want to keep offering the truth. Hallelujah. Lord God, that there's a God in heaven who we can believe on that will revolutionize a person's life, that will change it so drastically. Hallelujah. That men no longer want to live in sin, they want to live in righteousness. The men no longer want to walk under the demonic powers of this earth, but want to walk under the power of God and the anointing of God on their life. Hallelujah. And be so changed. Lord God, that in the middle of all diversity and all those things going on, that you can have peace with what passes understanding. Guarding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. Lord God, I want to thank you. We have great hope, great hopes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, in these days and times, no matter how things are, we can still have dreams of glorious future. We can still have dreams, and we, through faith, bring those dreams to pass. Hallelujah. We can believe for a glorious future. Hallelujah. We can walk toward it, Lord God. Hallelujah. With any kind of fear or worry. Not what men can do. Or, Lord God, who could stand before you? Oh, Lord God, it isn't our power and might. It's the one that we're in. Oh, hallelujah. And so we just thank you. Father, I thank you and these people because, Lord God, Lord, they're hungry for you. They want more. Hallelujah. They have desire for more. And Lord God, I thank you that you're putting wonderful things in them. Lord God, that you're building them up, that you're strengthening them, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, you make leaders out of them. People, Lord God, just like with Moses, calling people out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Being a leader to people that people can see, man. Because Lord, who knows what to follow today? Lord, there's so many, they call themselves leaders. But Lord God, we can't follow them. Hallelujah. Lord God, because what they do has no life. Lord, they live in fear. They live in fear of a future, Lord God, that if we try to correct the problems in this nation, oh, that we'll go under. Lord God, it's a fear. It's a stupidity. Lord, it's a demonic thing. Hallelujah. Lord God, we are believing in a God we can't see with our eyes, but we know that His Word's true, and we believe it. And Lord God, hallelujah. Lord, if anybody could protect or do something for this nation, it's You. Hallelujah. You're the one that can uphold things. And Lord God, I've just put it down here. You're the one I'm going to trust concerning this nation. Hallelujah. No matter what men do, no matter what they say, Lord God, hallelujah, I'm looking to You for help. And Lord God, it isn't in vain. It's not in vain to look for You. I thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I pray in this day and time, Lord God, that You raise Christians up all across this land. Raise Christians up, Lord, that are walking with You. Lord God, for the people in our government to be able to see. Lord, our government needs leaders. Hallelujah. The men in our Congress, they don't know how to lead anymore. Lord God, that they would see that there's people have a direction, that there's people walking. Hallelujah. They would see that there's a wisdom, hallelujah, that surpasses all the knowledge of politics and all of its craziness. Hallelujah. And Father God, that they would see it, that many would turn, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. We're not going to give up hope. We're not giving up hope for our land. You're going to move, and You're going to ring the dinner bell. Excuse me. When that dinner bell rings, there's many going to come. Many coming. Oh, Lord God, and I can see them coming. Not the ones that people think. Hallelujah. I see them coming. I see them coming, Lord God. Eyes are going to be open. Lord, people who have had no hope, Lord God, there's going to be a light of hope sparked in them. Hallelujah. And they're going to come running. They're going to come out of those places, Lord God. Lord, there's people going to come out, Lord, that have been bound in religious things, in religious areas, Lord God, that have held them. They're going to come out. Hallelujah. Father God, light is going to shine into darkness. Hallelujah. And ones will see, ones will come, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank You. I thank You, Father God, when Jesus Christ returns. Hallelujah. There's not going to be a few going. Hallelujah. There are multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes. Hallelujah. All of every tongue, out of every nation, out of every group. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, You have a people. And Lord God, I just thank You, Lord, for this last trumpet. Thank You for giving us another opportunity. Lord God, especially in this nation. Rightfully so, Lord, You could shut America off. If we went by our deeds and what we've done as a nation and what You have poured into this nation, it could easily be done, and we wouldn't have course to say it was unjust. But Lord God, You'll move in this nation for Your name's sake. You're doing it for Your name's sake. Just like You told Israel, You were going to save them for their name, for Your name's sake, not for them. And You still, Your mercy endures forever, and You will move in spite of what men have done. You will move, and You'll put a last call that will go out. Hallelujah. That last call is going to go out loud and clear in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank You, Father God. Father, I thank You for giving us a place to walk in this last day and using, Lord God, using us. Hallelujah. Lord, to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That people come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ is magnified and glorified. Hallelujah. That all men are known. We're looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank You for it, Father. Thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Amen.